Sports, politics, life. Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
Well, we're going to start this episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues with a couple of big picture items, issues, if you will. Fairly heavy, very important, and I promise not to get too deep involved in these. It's all brought to you today by Window World, simply the best for less. A long time since day one sponsor of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. They're online at windowskansascity.com. And we begin with deep thinker and smart man, everybody would agree, Elon Musk, who is the, well, he's African-American, as we like to point out. And he sat down with another African-American, Don Lemon, for the Don Lemon Show, which was originally going to be posted frequently or every single time as a long-form program on X. But after the interview, Musk was not happy with Don Lemon and pulled the plug on that, and the Don Lemon Show will now not be on X. This was never a heated exchange, from what I could tell. I watched it, and it didn't rise to the level of shouting or get involved in something that was deeply personal or things like that. But there was a constant theme in this interview of Don Lemon putting words in Elon Musk's mouth. He was trying to answer questions for him, and after a while, Musk was having no part of it. We're going to play one clip. There were two real headlines in this interview, and the clip I'm going to play for you, to me, is more immediate today than the other one. The second issue we won't spend much time on. Basically, Elon Musk had a great line to Don Lemon where he said, "We're all descendants of slaves, Don. It's just a matter of how recently your descendants were slaves." And Don Lemon just had this deer in the headlights look at him like, "Ah." He said, "You agree with that, right? You know that like everybody on earth at some level is a descendant of a slave. If you go back far enough in the history of mankind, we are all descendants of slaves. All of us. And the United States is the best of any place in the world." And Lemon agreed with that. And Musk essentially said, "We got to move on from this. We have to stop talking about this. There's not slavery here. Everyone has a shot. Move on. Shut up. Let's go." And there are also recent studies out there that people that fixate on woke issues and racism and some of these other little niche issues out there are the unhappiest Americans there are. That they literally live a miserable life, that they're unhappy every day because they think all these negative thoughts all the time about the world around them, things they can't control. And so Musk is pointing all this out, and you just have to love that quote, staring Don Lemon in the face. "We are all descendants of slave," said one African-American to another African-American. "One that's white, one that's black, but they're both African-Americans." And he said, "We are all descendants of slaves," and it was just a very powerful moment. But the urgent point that Elon Musk has been making the last few weeks that nobody is talking about, and we've heard things like this, and we kind of slough them off, and they breeze by us, and we go, "Oh, there's nothing you can do about that. Forget about that," whatever. We often say the illegal immigrants are coming in, the illegal aliens are pouring into our country because they want to give them voter status. They want to make them citizens and let them vote, and they will be predominantly Democrat voters, and that is true. Musk is pointing out that they don't even have to become citizens, and they don't have to vote, that they've already changed the electorate in the United States, and our electorate is not fair. This is stunning to hear him say it. He's a little difficult to listen to. He's got a little bit of an accent, and he doesn't speak crisply. Elon Musk doesn't. He hesitates and thinks before he says things. You can almost feel or see his brain working before he wants to say something. But ultimately, what you're about to hear is that there are so many illegal aliens in the United States that they actually count in the census, and the census then counts for apportionment for House of Representatives seats and Electoral College votes for President of the United States. And the numbers that you're about to hear from Elon Musk here are going to blow you away, because he's essentially saying all these illegal aliens in the United States have already rigged the system against Republicans.
One is that when the census is done, the census is based on all people in an area, whether they are citizens or not. So if there are a concentration of people who came here illegally in a particular state that state will actually then get an increased number of House seats. So the House seat apportionment is proportionate to the number of people, not the number of citizens. So the illegals overwhelmingly go to places like California and New York. If you just look at the math, if you look at the apportionment with and without illegals, I believe California would lose, I believe the blue state, there would be a net loss of blue states of approximately 20 seats in the House. This also applies to the Electoral College. So you say, like, well, this also applies to electing the president, because the electoral votes are also done by apportionment the same way that House seats are done.
But the reason, Elon, the Electoral College is in place is to balance that, so that doesn't happen. So what you're saying about it is the exact opposite of the reason why the Electoral College is there. The Electoral College at this point in our history gives people who are in smaller states and red states much more of an influence over our elections than people who are in blue states and the majority of the people in this country. That's what the Electoral College does. It actually does the exact opposite of what you're saying. It protects people who are in smaller states and protects people who are in red states.
Well,
the red states tend to be smaller and less populous.
I think that statement is what you said is true, but what I said is also true, which is that if as is the case, a disproportionate number of legal immigrants go to blue states, they amplify the effect of a blue state vote. And the math, as I understand it, you can research this obviously very easily on there. It's pretty straightforward to research this. But my understanding is that there would be that the Democrats would lose approximately 20 seats in the House if illegals were not counted in the census, and that's also 20 less electoral votes for president. So the illegals absolutely do affect the who controls the House, and who controls the presidency.
Now, this is fascinating to me because Don Lemon is basically parroting an old liberal Democrat talking point, and that is get rid of the Electoral College. They just want to get rid of it because they don't like the fact that there's two senators in all 50 states, and some small states have two senators, right? And then the big states only have two. Our founding fathers were brilliant in all this. There's checks and balances everywhere in our government. Ultimately, all of it was set up so that the people are in charge of the government, not the government in charge of the people. We are losing that every single day, and we've been losing that for the last, probably since the end of World War II and all the programs that came, well, maybe even before that. We've been losing this for quite some time. The people's control over the government is gone. They control us. We don't control them. We are not the free country that our founding fathers envisioned. And Musk is pointing this out to Don Lemon, who wants to get rid of the Electoral College. And Musk is sitting here saying, you have 20 more Electoral College votes baked in because of illegal aliens. Like, just because the illegals in this country right now, the illegal aliens, Joe Biden is up 20-0 in the Electoral College count long before the election starts. Trump is down 20 in this thing before it begins because of all the illegals in New York, California, and the number of Electoral College votes that they get in those places. That's what this is about. And Musk is, he's not screaming from the mountaintop. He's saying it very quietly, but certainly some people have to take notice of this. We need to address this. Why would our system of voting have anything to do with illegal aliens? An apportionment of illegal aliens spread across the country and having representation for them. How is this even possible that California and New York get more House seats because they have all the illegal aliens? Why? Why would they get representation? How in the world do they deserve any representation? This is beyond me, and it must be fixed. This is urgent. This can't be fixed by November. But if a win happens in November, God willing, we get Trump in, have the Senate and the House, this needs to be done right away. It needs to be passed a law that says we will never take the census and illegal aliens into account for our voting system. Ever. No. The law is citizens can vote. That's it. And the representation should be based on the number of citizens, not the number of people here. We're going to count vacationers too. At any time, there's a million visitors in Las Vegas. There's probably, there's more than a million at any time in Las Vegas. At any time, there's probably times where there's 500,000 people in Las Vegas that are tourists from other parts of the world. Same thing with New York, San Francisco, LA. We're just going to start apportioning these things off too. Say, well, they're tourists. We got vacationers here in these blue spots. Let's give them more representation for the people that are here on vacation. The whole thing is absurd. And we live in a time where there's so much prosperity, despite the fact that we have inflation, a lot of things that we don't like. We have an incredible national debt that's going to be a problem somewhere down the road. It hasn't happened yet. Warren Buffett famously a couple of years ago gave an interview, The Great Investor, and he said, the lowest 2% of income in the United States today have it better than the richest man in the world, John Rockefeller, 90 years ago. And he turned a lot of heads when he said that, and we forget these things. And we sit here and think that we have to do all this and all that and try to fix this for the bottom and do this for these people and whatever. And Buffett said, look, these people have medicine at their disposal in this country. It's walk into the hospital. If you're sick, they're going to treat you. They have science on their side. There's a gazillion things that we can cure and keep you alive with now that we couldn't 90 years ago. Everybody that walks in the bottom 2% of income, walks into a facility to get help or does whatever, has a screen. They either have a computer at home, a television, or an iPhone. So we have illegal aliens coming in with iPhones. The technology and information alone leads to a quality of life that the lowest income earners in the United States have today that the richest man in the world did not have 90 years ago. And Warren Buffett's right. I bring this up because it's not new that Warren Buffett has said this. We need to listen to these people. I don't see Warren Buffett as overly political. I know he's voted for Democrats in the past. I don't even see Elon Musk as overly political. I think we know he leans right. But he's also open to fairness on X and truly wants the debate. I think Elon Musk sleeps well every night knowing that if there's 100 people on X espousing conservatism and 100 people on X espousing liberalism, the conservatism message is going to win. I think you know that, and I think I know that. So he's like, let's just have a level playing field here on X. Let's create a level playing field and watch what happens over time. It will be good for America. Having this debate, having this discussion, having these things out there and letting people decide on their own will win for America. When he points these things out to Don Lemon, Lemon looked at him like he had some sort of disease. He looked at him like he had three eyeballs. And it just wasn't working. But we see and hear all kinds of things that we can't understand. The second big picture issue is happening before the Supreme Court. This is Murthy versus Missouri. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is kind of a spokesperson on this for the right, for the conservatives. And on Monday, they heard oral arguments in this case. There will be a ruling this summer by the Supreme Court. Murthy versus Missouri basically says the Biden administration went too far working with Facebook, Google, search engines, and at the time, Twitter, to quash information about Hunter Biden's laptop during an election and to create misinformation about COVID-19. Because if there was disinformation and misinformation now about COVID-19, we know looking back, it was from the left, not the right. We know this as fact. The CDC just put a report out about their findings of myocarditis after taking the Pfizer shot. This got little play. This was on Friday. The CDC put this report out. Dr. Peter McCullough was there. He's speaking about it. He's like, this is an outrage. This is the largest cover-up in the history of the United States of America. The CDC put their report out about myocarditis after taking the Pfizer shot. And the 128 pages about myocarditis are redacted. There's nothing there. You can't read one word about any of it. It's complete redacted means they've taken a black line and gone through the entire report. So they put the full report out, but all of the issues about myocarditis, they've redacted all of it. There's nothing there in any of these pages. It's you can't read it. Our CDC says, nope, here's our report. We're sending this to the big shots at the highest level, but we ain't letting the public see this. Why? Why? And so that's what this is about. Murthy versus Missouri. I think it's going to lose. I think it's going to lose because Chief Justice John Roberts is almost certainly to go with the Democrats on the Supreme Court in this one. But it's pretty interesting to hear some of the commentary made. And the one that's making headlines is Ketanji Brown Jackson, who in the oral arguments yesterday said the First Amendment, because this really is a First Amendment case, does the government have the right to squash free speech? In other words, if you're posting on Facebook or Twitter or doing things and from a conservative standpoint about COVID-19 or about Hunter Biden's laptop, do they have the right to censor you? Does the government have the right to work with those companies to censor you for one issue or another? And it's a complicated question because there are times that the government clearly needs to do things to protect our society, especially children. One of the justices brought up, well, what happens if kids are online and they're saying, I jumped 10 feet off of a wall and didn't break my leg. And another one says, I'm going to try 12 feet and see if I break my leg. And eventually, kids are out there trying these TikTok challenges until somebody dies. Should the government stop that? Is there something that we should be doing to protect kids from harming themselves because they don't know? These are very big picture questions. But Ketanji Brown Jackson grabbed the headlines by saying, the First Amendment hamstrings the government. I agree with her. So does Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, a staunch conservative. The First Amendment is designed to hamstring the government. That's exactly its purpose. The problem we have in the United States today is the left and the right look at the First Amendment, and we can look at the entire Constitution and say the entire document was written to hamstring the government. It is there for the people to be in charge of the government, not for the government to be in charge of the people. It is a series of limitations to limit the government. And Andrew Bailey and Kevin Keatsman and likely you believe this is a great thing. And we love the fact that the First Amendment hamstrings the government. We love that. But now the left is just saying it out loud. She's sitting there on the bench at the Supreme Court listening to this hearing. In a negative way, the First Amendment is hamstringing the government. We can't have that. We have to free the government up to make decisions for the people, is what Ketanji Brown Jackson is saying. That's what a liberal Supreme Court justice believes, that the government is smarter than the people and must make decisions on what information. You can't handle the Hunter Biden laptop right before an election. You can't handle that. We need to quash that. We need to make sure that's not out there. You see where all this is going. They'll use it politically in any way that they can. They'll use it in control any way they can. Exactly the opposite of what our founding fathers had in mind. And so here we go with a landmark case about government overreach in the private sector, keeping information from the American public. And it's sitting right there before the Supreme Court. And we've got six justices appointed by Republicans, three appointed by Democrats, and I still feel like we're going to lose this case because that's how disgusting the swamp is. Even Supreme Court justices get there and they see this giant government apparatus and they know it and it's their culture and they live in it and they go to the cocktail parties and they're around it and they love it. They love the power the government has. They're part of that. They're in the know. They're in the circle. And this is where even great attorneys, legal minds, will look at something and not be able to, John Roberts will not be able to distance himself from that. These cocktail parties, the State of the Union address, the different things that he does and goes to, he wants government to have some control. He does not care what the Constitution says. He wants the government to have some control. And he likes that. And Supreme Court justices will say, we shouldn't be the decider of these things. Politics should decide it. The voters should decide things. Oh, no, no, no. These justices love deciding things. They love deciding things. I feel like this is going to be a loser. And I can't even remotely figure out any way this shouldn't be an absolute slam dunk winner. Limit the government from stopping free speech. It's pretty simple. let the public speak and let the public decide. And Ketanji Brown Jackson has become, for people on the right, the butt of jokes. Because she's out there saying the First Amendment hamstrings the government like she's just reinvented the wheel. No, actually, like she just invented the wheel. She's saying it like nobody's ever said that before. But for 250 years, people have been saying that. That's what the Constitution is. It's one giant hamstring injury for the government. That's what it is. We want to hobble you so the people stay in charge and not you. And she, oh my God, and she's smart, right? Big law school. She's on the Supreme Court. I think she should be made fun of. Absolutely should be. A couple of big picture items there for you. All brought to you today by bstock.net, the only place for electronics. Right now, save big on 85-inch televisions. You can get these in time for the tournament this week, guys. Samsung 85-inch, $699. They ramp up depending on picture quality and options and stuff on them. $699, $799, $899. Three different Samsung 85-inch models. Unbelievable. That's pretty cool stuff right there. It's all part of the Samsung lineup at bstock.net, where they offer a 55-inch QLED smart TV for $389. Ridiculous. Acer Aspire computers, $274.99. These are $329 originally, brand new, factory sealed. They got all kinds of great Apple. Tons of Apple stock currently, plus more coming in. iPads, AirPods, MacBooks, iPhones, even accessories. We'll save you another 10% on AppleCare Plus. Factory sealed items, new in the box, bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Back 9 Development is your custom builder. If you have a piece of land, if you're considering building a home, or if you'd like to start a business or build a business or any kind of developmental project, condominium projects, things of this nature, apartments, Back 9 Development is a wonderful contractor to work with. Back9development.com is the website. You can see their entire portfolio. Right now, they're featuring the Dunes in Lansing, 8 lots with a pond in the middle. Secure your lot and build your custom home on over 3 acres of land in Lansing. Or the Lofts, condominiums in Manhattan on Manhattan Avenue. They've gutted everything, and outside of the exterior concrete and structure will be brand new, the whole thing. 2-bedroom, 2-bath condos in Manhattan sold individually, starting prices of $249. It's all online at back9development.com. And Advanced Medical Imaging, see what's inside at medimageks.com. I've been getting more and more emails from people that are amazed that they can get in today or tomorrow. And I mentioned last week, one is from a friend of mine who's a doctor that went and got his knee scoped there because he was going to have to wait over a month to do it where he would normally go. I'm also hearing from many of you that said, yeah, I went the next day. Then I had the results sent over to my doctor, and the doctor's office called me and said, how in the world did you get this that fast? And the doctors are amazed. And he said he told him where, and his doctor is now referring all of his patients to Advanced Medical Imaging, which is a cool thing. If you're in healthcare, spread the word. They're not going to grow so fast that this is not going to, they're going to be able to do this quickly. They're ready to do it. Today, tomorrow, the next day, Advanced Medical Imaging, see what's inside. All right, let's do a couple of emails here. I like to do some emails in the news, and these are kind of fun. I got this from a gentleman who responded to my commentary about the St. Patrick's Day parade on Sunday being a complete and total fizzle and flop in Kansas City. Fewer than 1,000 people attended. I got many emails from folks that said they either saw it driving by, or a couple of people said they actually went to the parade, and that's right, there couldn't have been 1,000 people there. But this one from Ryan, Kevin, the parade at the Lake of the Ozarks had thousands and thousands in attendance. Here's an attached video. I don't recall seeing any police presence there at the actual parade, other than those who were riding in the parade. Well played, Ryan. That's right. Do you know why? Because the parade at the Lake of the Ozarks self-polices. They were legal packers. There was heat packed everywhere, legally, by good guys. And there are no gangs near there. Gangs are the problem, folks. Gangs. There are dozens of gangs in Kansas City, and they were all at the Chiefs parade. They were not at the St. Patrick's Day parade at the Lake of the Ozarks. Not fertile ground for gang activity. Not saying there isn't crime at the Lake of the Ozarks or drug trade or any of these other things. There is. That stuff's everywhere. But just the organized teenage kids with illegal guns that hotheads that start firing in public like Crown Center or the Plaza or Union Station in Kansas City, Missouri, it's a shooting range. This man makes an excellent point. Thousands and thousands safely in attendance at Lake of the Ozarks, because of course they were. They were self-policing. This one from Logan. Kevin, NCAA Division I wrestling is coming to downtown KC at T-Mobile Center this weekend. I'd love to hear it promoted on the podcast. Man, you're right about this. This is March Madness is what they call it. The wrestling tournament, the national championships, are at T-Mobile Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I'll say this. I think this is probably the hardest sport for any college athlete. I can't imagine being in college and doing anything harder than being a wrestler. You have to make weight. You have to be in ridiculous shape. The technique is insane. The dedication, the practice, the commitment is unmatched. Truly unmatched. There's a young man named Keegan O'Toole that's 19-0 this year at Missouri. He's in 165-pound weight class. He's going for his third national title in a row from the University of Missouri. Mizzou has 10 wrestlers at this event, Thursday through Saturday. If you're looking to take your kid or your grandkid to something completely different or go with your buddy or your wife, go check this out. These athletes are insane. This is legit now. There is no chance Kevin was ever going to be a wrestler. This is too hard. Too hard. Too much work. You will be looking at the athletes that have worked harder than anyone in any sport anywhere at their school. I promise you that. And it's pretty cool. There's all kinds of local Kansas City wrestlers. Not just at Mizzou, but the other schools as well. So it's pretty cool. March Madness. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Thank you so much, Logan, for reminding me of that. That's just awesome stuff. Very, very cool. Our final news item is from the world of music. One of my all-time favorites is John Mellencamp. He sings great songs about Middle America, growing up, about corporations and government beating down average people. He spoke to my head. He spoke to my heart with so many songs. He grew up. He got older. He turned into a flaming liberal, and he espouses nothing his songs are about. Bruce Springsteen has done the exact same thing. They're two peas in a pod. They made their entire careers off conservative young men buying their albums, going to their shows, supporting everything that they do because they were speaking to them. We were all the same. Whether you're from Jersey or from Indiana, it didn't matter. We had shared experiences about cars and girls and music and life and war and military and government intervention and big corporations and bank loans shutting down farms, all of these different things. They spoke about unions, which touched me. I grew up in a union household. I got it. We were all simpatico. And then these people get so rich and they hang out so long on the Upper East Side of New York and in the hills of Hollywood that they become flaming crazy liberals. And in the case of John Mellencamp, he just becomes a crazy old man, which is what he's become. And I still love his songs. I've seen him several times live. He's not the greatest live performer. It's not. He's just not. He's just not. He's good. He's not great. His songs are great. A lot of people are really great live. He's not. So I don't think he's ever worn it out on his sleeve like, man, I'm that guy. But he used to do Farm Aid, for crying out loud, with Willie Nelson and raise money for farmers and all the things that he did through the years. And he's just flat, stone, crazy, liberal wacko now. He wouldn't stand up for the national anthem last year at a Colts game. They were playing the anthem and he sat in his seat and ate popcorn. He wouldn't even stand up for it. It was caught on video. And when people posted it, he basically was like, F you, I'll do whatever I want. He hates America. He hates everything. Apparently, he hates everything. So he's playing Sunday night at a hall in Ohio. There's 2,500 people there. It's a place like the Midland Theater. And he's doing this show. And he stops and he's telling stories about his Nana or something. And apparently, at his age, he likes to tell stories between songs because he was a heavy smoker for years. He probably doesn't have the pipes to just go play. And some dude goes, come on, man, sing. And Mellencamp goes, really? F you, you sea sucker. It was awful. And he melts down on the guy and goes, you know what? I don't need this spit. I got 10 more songs I'm going to do, but I'm not going to do any of them. I could quit right now and I get my money. And a few people go, ooh, like that. And a bunch more were like, no, please don't. Please don't. They're cheering. Please don't. And the guy hollers again, just play the effing songs, dude. And Mellencamp says, okay. And he strums his guitar and he does the first four or five chords of Jack and Diane, says little ditty about Jack and Diane. And he goes, F it. And he takes his guitar strap over his shoulder, sets the guitar down and goes, show's over. I'm out. And he walks off the stage. And so people are mad at the man in the seats who is escorted out. A bunch of people leave, but apparently after about 20 or 30 minutes, he came back and performed the songs for whoever stayed. I can't think of anything more Bush League and just flat out awful. But we talk about this a lot with liberals and how unhappy they are. How in the world is John Mellencamp, I don't know what he is, 70 years old maybe? Maybe in his mid-70s. How can you have had this life where you've seen everything in the world? You've experienced everything. You've lived your life of excess. You have drank. You have smoked. You have been with a million women. You've done everything that, you know, our culture says is the coolest stuff ever to go do. It's not about the things they taught you in Indiana and the things you sang about when you were younger, right? You've lived this life and you're just flat out miserable that you can't handle one guy just saying play the songs. Instead of you say, hey, dude, I'm going to just indulge me one more time. I want to tell you the story about my Nana. Put a smile on your face and, you know, say it with a smile, Mellencamp. Go, hey, we're all here having a good time tonight. I want you to have a great time, sir. We got a bunch more songs left. This is going to be great. I'm with you. I get it. But I do want to share this story with you, if that's okay. Just indulge me. No, he couldn't do that. He had to F you. He had to call him a name. And he had to turn it into a blow up where he walks off the stage. It's insane. These people are crazy. These liberals do not know a thing. You don't do that. We're going to have a patron party on March 28th. Inevitably, somebody's going to come and get a little bit in my face and say, I don't like your stance on this issue. I don't like this or I don't like that. And I'm going to say, well, it's okay. We can all disagree. And I'm going to shake the dude's hand and smile and chat and go, is there anything else we could talk about? Maybe we got some common ground somewhere else. And instead of he's got a real beef with me about something, I'll do my very best to defuse it. I've been there. It's what you do. It's especially what you do. You know, it's often been said we're nicer to strangers than the ones we love. Nowhere is that more true than John Mellencamp on a stage performing. You got 2,500 people there. You should treat them better than the people around you. They're total strangers to you. They've paid money to come hear you. They're your customers. Treat them with respect. He just annihilated this guy and walked off stage. And it is just classic crazy old man liberal. It's Michael Moore. It's Springsteen. It's who else had a meltdown last week? Oh, they're all over. Joe Scarborough's getting that way. There's all kinds of nutty. The meathead from All in the Family, Rob Reiner. Oh, my God. Keith Olbermann. They're all of the same ilk. They've had everything in life. They've had every possible experience, everything that they could do to live their best life, they've had. And in many cases, they've earned. John Mellencamp earned this. He wrote great songs. And you're pissing that all away to be miserable? Because the people, he knows the people that come to his concert are conservative. He knows this. He knows 80% of his audience is voting for Trump. So he goes out there every night and hates his audience. I don't get it. It's the same thing in a Springsteen show. It's going to be 70% Trump voters. And he hates him. Springsteen to this point has just played and played and played. And there's not been a lot of reports of him getting up there and getting on fans or getting preachy or doing these other things. He just plays his songs and accepts the fact that he loves to play. He loves the crowd to roar for him. And I can deal with Trump voter money if they're going to come. I guess that's where we are in music today. Nuts. Sports Today brought to you by the Finch Knife Company, now featuring the Hellfire. Did you know the actual Hellfire is a 100-pound laser-guided anti-armor missile with precise striking power? It's used by the armed forces of the United States military. It's capable of destroying any tank in the world, bunkers, and high-value targets. So, Finch Knife Company designed an incredible knife that they call Hellfire. You can get it with these different handle options. Gold resin, like a bowling ball, white bone, or shredded carbon fiber. It's the Hellfire. It's available at FinchKnifeCo.com. Keep life from getting dull. Carry a Hellfire on you at all times. Fry Orthodontics, with 14 locations around the Kansas City area. Teeth love us. You will too. The reason is the treatment is just better. It's a better experience. People are smiling. It's a happy place to go. They're not acting like John Mellencamp when you go in there. That's not what they're doing. You go into Fry Orthodontics like, look, we know that this is, you're nervous about it. You've got braces or Invisalign. You're a little nervous about the treatment. We're going to tell some jokes, have some fun here. Lighten up, give you white glove treatment, and eliminate excessive treatment in every possible way. They're really trying to revolutionize the experience of a perfect smile at Fry Orthodontics. Your first visit is free. Log on to fryorthodontics.com. And Daniel and his team over at Earth Effects Outdoor, eeoutdoor.com. Spring cleanup time, folks. Clean up your garden areas. Clean up your mulch areas, your little beds around your house. Get rid of those overgrown, rotten things and get them out of there and get some smaller plants in there to create a little more space. Maybe put some flowers in. Maybe you've got a couple of dead trees that need to be removed. All this spring cleanup, EE Outdoor would be honored to do it. Even if it's just need mulch and some weeding, they'll come do that for you. Their specialty is hardscapes. They do ponds, waterfalls, outdoor kitchens, lighting, outdoor bars, fire pits. They do it all. And they'd love to work out a bid for you. Then you can decide on your time, how much work you want to do now, how much later. Make your backyard extra living space at your home with Earth Effects Outdoor. Financing available, eeoutdoor.com. That's eeoutdoor.com. Love the work that they do. Terrific. All right, on to sports. Early voting is open for the Jackson County Stadium issue right now. Early voting is on. 2 weeks of voting culminates on April 2nd on whether or not the Royals and Chiefs are going to get over $1 billion from taxpayers over 40 years for their stadiums. So if you live in Jackson County, you can go vote now. Or you can mail in your vote, presumably. I kind of forgot, Jackson County, of course this is going to pass. They get to mail ballots in for 2 weeks. How does this not pass? It won't take that many. It's not November. They're going to harvest votes. This is the... I'm so stupid, I haven't even thought about this. They have 2 weeks to mail these things in. How many votes do you think the yes vote is going to harvest and get mailed in? Knocking doors... Did you get your envelope? I'll help you fill it out. Here you go. I'm going to mail this for you. I'll put postage on it for you. Or I'll drop it in the box for you. How many of those will there be? A couple thousand? 5,000? I don't know. They got 2 weeks and pretty good weather over the next 2 weeks to go out and harvest these things. Come on. I don't know what I've been talking about. This thing that I say, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know whether it'll pass or not. Of course we know what's going to happen. It's Jackson County. They're going door to door in Kansas City, Missouri, and they're getting ballots. You know they are. You freaking know they are. The Best Among Us. And my favorite Chief, I've said this before, if my daughter could marry one Chiefs player, it would be Harrison Butker. He's married. She's got a boyfriend. That's not what I'm saying. Just he's the man. And I hope he runs for office after football. Because I think he'd be a tremendous leader in Missouri or Kansas. And I hope it's right here. I think he fits in beautifully. Lisa Lopez Galvan is the lady who died at Union Station when the teenage gang members began firing each other. 12 people, teenagers mostly, with guns, illegally, firing at each other. 6 of them fired off. Lisa Lopez Galvan was wearing a Harrison Butker jersey that day, as you likely know. He sent them another jersey, and she was buried in it. It's quite a story. Harrison Butker was on an EWTN interview. That's a Catholic television network. And he was at an event in Wichita, a Catholic convention, as a guest speaker. And he retold the story of Ash Wednesday and going to Mass that day and riding in the parade with the ashes on his forehead and waving at other Catholics in the crowd that had ashes on their forehead. And it culminated with this shooting. And he's told the story and he's gotten there. And it is pretty remarkable where this interview goes. We'll start with the question from the interviewer. I played a whole chunk yesterday on the Patreon podcast. This is a much smaller piece, but it's truthful. It's profound, and you will love Harrison Butker after hearing this.
You gave her family your jersey. Was she laid to rest in that jersey?
She was. She was. That was what the family wanted. Again, very humbling to
me. How do you process that when you think about that? That's...
You know, I never set out to be an NFL kicker. I never set out to have this platform. I never thought I'd be having the success in the NFL that I am. I never, you know, wanted to be this public person that people look to see what their ideas are, what their stances are on different subjects. But because of that, it has given me, you know, a great following of people like, you know, this amazing woman. It's the faith. It was the most important thing in her life. It's the most important thing in my life. And to be able to receive that encouragement, that love, even though I never met her, I heard that from her family, how much she was encouraged by me and loved all my work. That's just very encouraging for me to continue on the path that I'm on and to be never unwavering in my beliefs.
I do want to ask, there is a debate in this country over the best way to curb gun violence. After being so close to it,
yeah.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I had to do a lot of thinking about what took place at the parade. I know gun violence was a big discussion, but at the end of the day, this is degenerate violence and it should not be occurring. I think we need strong fathers in the home. I think we need men that are leading, that are setting good examples, that are teaching the young men in our society that violence is not the way to handle our disputes. It's very unfortunate what happened. Unfortunately, many, many children were injured. A beautiful young lady was killed over someone getting offended and turning to violence to handle that dispute. It's so sad. I don't think guns are the issue. I think we need fathers in the home that are being great examples for our youth.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Harrison Butker's exactly right. It's degenerate violence, and we need strong fathers. And guns aren't the problem. It's degenerate violence, and we need strong fathers. He's right. I'd vote for Harrison Butker for any office right now. More people would probably vote for Travis Kelce, but I don't think I would. I don't think I'd vote for him for office. This from the New York Post. New York Post has calculated Travis Kelce since he started dating Taylor Swift, or at least publicly. What week was it during the football season we saw this? Since this began, they have calculated over $8 million in expenditures just to date Taylor Swift. This is trips, ridiculous gifts that he's bought her, gold roses. I mean, like gold roses, like the stem is gold plated and then it's made. It's insane. Some of the things he's bought her. The New York Post expert says $570,000 just to go to Singapore to see her concert. $1.25 million in private jet use. Travis Kelce allegedly spent $1 million at the Super Bowl to pay for that suite that she was in and all those people to come. It was $1 million. And he spent over $8 million so far to date Taylor Swift. Now, I think we all recognize she's paying for the flights because that's her plane, and she's got a lot more money than he does. But he's got a $60 million contract, and he's making a pile of money outside of football now. But this is stupid. I'll just say it. This is stupid. I'm one of those people that if I won Powerball and had $1 billion, I'd have a hard time justifying if Jessica was out on tour. I may go on tour with her, okay? But I'd have a hard time hanging out in Kansas City and spending $600,000 over 3 days to go to Singapore to see her show and come back home. I don't know that I'd do that. I don't understand any of this, to be honest. Would I spend $1 million for a Super Bowl suite? If I had just won Powerball, I might do that once for my family. But I don't think I don't know, man. I don't know. The things that I'm seeing them do, they're in LA right now at some private hangout somewhere, exclusive private hangout. I've been with you. I've just been on the train of thinking that most of this she's paying for. But even if that's true, he's definitely in it for millions. He bought a new house for her, for him, but for her. Because it wasn't big enough, the one he had here wasn't big enough to host what they were doing when she was here and all the people that she brings. So he bought a $6 million Leawood house. So there's six of the nearly $9 million that he spent, but it's just got to be insanely expensive to date Taylor Swift. I don't think he's worried about his future income. I think he knows there's a lot more coming. And Travis Kelce, I could see him spending his way to being broke other than the real estate that he holds. I could see him spending his way over the next couple of years to being broke. I could see that. But his future income is going to be so great that I don't think he has to worry about that. If he marries her, he doesn't have to worry about anything. Olathe man named Chad Williams. Anybody know Chad Williams from Olathe? Chad Williams went to Lake of the Ozarks last weekend for St. Patrick's Day weekend. And he went out and did something he'd never heard of before. They said, we're going to go snagging. And he's like, dudes, he's with his buddy. He's like, I don't know what that is. He goes, well, there's these big paddlefish. You don't catch them in the mouth. You snag them and you reel them in. And he said, what's a paddlefish? And so they went. And they went paddlefishing. They went snagging for paddlefishing. And Chad Williams, who didn't know what a paddlefish was, of Olathe, caught a 164-pound, 13-ounce paddlefish. It is the largest caught paddlefish in the history of the world. Not Lake of the Ozarks, not Missouri, not Olathe. A world record. He ate some because they said there's a lot of meat here. That sounds disgusting, by the way. But he mostly shared it with all of his buddies and everyone else. And they chopped off the head, or whatever you do with the head, and they're going to taxidermy it. And he's going to hang it. Chad Williams of Olathe, 164-pound, 13-ounce paddlefish, largest paddlefish in the history of the world, recorded records. From a man in Olathe who went out fishing, went out snagging for paddlefish, didn't know what snagging was, and didn't know what a paddlefish was. He was told by the people at Missouri Fish and Game when it was over, dude, don't fish again. You'll never top this. Everything you do going forward will be a disappointment. Forget about it. Especially don't go snagging again. You're just going to be disappointed. It's like if you played Powerball once and you won, don't play again. It's just going to disappoint you every time. Oh, don't do that again. Take the winnings and run. Take your world record and run. My man John Hutchins is in Manhattan this week. He's working with Denzel Goolsbee, who's going to start doing some amazing garage floors in the Manhattan area. That's right, Hutch branches out. He finds people who want to basically franchise an amazing garage floor franchise in different areas. So if you wanted to do St. Joe or Topeka, and some of these may already have them, I don't know. I'm going off the top of my head. But he's there training Denzel Goolsbee this week, who's going to open up amazing garage floors in Manhattan and start doing garage floors and garage ceiling in Manhattan, Salina, Junction City, areas like that. He's there doing that. If you were interested in opening your own franchise, call Hutch. If you're looking to start your own business, this is it. Amazing garage floors, 913-901-7139. That's 913-901-7139. Franchise is available most anywhere. Even if you listen out of town, if you live in Phoenix, something like that, or Dallas. I mean, he may have some people in Dallas. I don't know where he has them and where he doesn't. But he's expanding outward. If you want to start your own franchise in a market, this is especially for a young person that's like, I don't know. I don't want to sit in a cubicle. I don't know what exactly I want to do. Go start your own business. What a great business. AmazingGarageFloors.net, 913-901-7139. And this is the perfect time of year to seal your driveway. So check them out at AmazingGarageFloors.net and seal your driveway right now and save that concrete. Amini's Galleria, it is outdoor furniture time at Amini's. You can sit right in it. Their front area outside is all loaded with outdoor furniture, and they've got even more inside. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park, online at Amini's.com. Also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City, this is Amini's. And Cross Kitchens, Kansas City, is Kansas City's remodeler. Whether you're looking to do something small, like a little bathroom off the kitchen that needs some new countertops, or needs to be redone, or if you want to do a whole kitchen, man, there's nothing like redoing your kitchen. They can take a wall out, create more space. It can become a better living and gathering area. You can do this year and have the best Thanksgiving and Christmas this year you've ever had. Heck, you can be done by 4th of July, I'm pretty sure, if you get on this right now. And you want to host your family and be more comfortable in your home? CrossKitchensKC.com, 816-898-7047. Our final today is Bradford pear trees. Do you have a Bradford pear? They're the ones that are flowering right now. They're beautiful. The problem is in Kansas City, in Kansas or Missouri, if you have a Bradford pear, they look really pretty for about a day and a half, and then the wind blows and all the flowers just go, whoop, they're just gone. They just blow all over. The state of Kansas is banning the sale of importing or banning of Bradford pears beginning in 2027. Right now, they say most nurseries will not sell them in Kansas. They are invasive, they spread, and they ruin the natural landscape. They're predator trees. Bradford pears are a no-go. They're also not requiring, but asking, if you wouldn't mind digging yours up and throwing it away. If you have a Bradford pear in Kansas, they want you to get rid of it. They want you to chop it down and replace it with something else. Who knew? I thought all we were doing was hugging trees. The trees are good. We want to plant trees, plant more trees. Now they're saying, not these trees. These trees are bad for the environment. Who could have known that? Those beautiful springtime Bradford pears are doing damage all over the state of Kansas. We will see if Oklahoma or Nebraska or Missouri or any other states follow suit. Kansas is the first to say, Bradford pears are bad for business. Get them out of here. Stop planting them and stop growing them and stop buying them and stop selling them. No, no, Bradford pears, 2027 there. A non-starter is against the law to import one or sell one in the state of Kansas beginning in 2027. Your final today at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.